Welcome back. Today we have James Bartley here, and our topic of the day will be Three-Eye Atlas. Yeah, a lot has been written and said, all kinds of speculations. Either, yeah, it's just a comet and nothing to see here. And of course, at the other side of the spectrum is no, the aliens are coming and everything in between. Where do you stand?
Well, it's funny to hear people say, well, it's just a comet, when the common notion or conception of a comet, the mainstream conception of it, is all wrong, right? It's like they say just an icy, like ice ball that travels through space. That's nonsense. It wouldn't be illuminated at times, these comets. It wouldn't be having this long tail. Professor James McCaney has done a lot of great work about comets and Planet X. Sized objects coming into our solar system. So I think people really need to go back and look at his research about what comets really are, right? Basically, Planet X-sized exoplanets coming into our solar system, passing through, and sometimes wreaking havoc. So that's the first thing I've got to say about it, that they call it a comet, but they don't even know what a comet is, right? Secondly, we're seeing some oddities, and we've seen this pattern in the past where some kind of event is occurring in our solar system, usually an inbound object that's being tracked. And I remember years ago, there was a similar scenario where a very large planet-sized comet was coming into our solar system, and the government shut down for like 3 or 4 days when it made its transit, its closest approach. You would think that they would let us see this thing, right? Now, I'm sure that there was imagery and telemetry picked up from the object when it passed through, but we see a similar dynamic this time once again. The government shuts down, and we're told that all of the space telescopes and everything else have been shut down along with it. But I'm sure that there are secret elements within the government and the military industrial complex that are keeping an eye on this. And, what's curious to me about it is that we're hearing anything about it. In the past, they would have completely shut down any discussion whatsoever. So, for whatever reason, either they can't prevent all this discussion taking place, or they see it somewhat, the powers that be see it as somewhat of a limited hangout. Let them have their excitement, let them work themselves up into a frenzy, and then they'll forget all about it again. But this time, I think there might be something to it. And if it's real, let's say for the sake of argument that it is real, it's a very large craft. Apparently, there have been smaller objects sighted around it as well. And the latest development is that it's been detected giving off signals. And the signals that it's been giving off is in the Fibonacci sequence, right? So, which is something of a universal language, at least in our reality, our dimension, because those who are not familiar, the Fibonacci sequence figures in nature, in seashells and hurricanes and just about anything else. There's a pattern to creation here, and this object apparently is giving off signals in a Fibonacci sequence. There have been people that have remote viewed it, and people that are regarded as being quite good at what they do, and they've come back with some interesting results. Now, to cut to the chase, let's say for the sake of an argument that it is real. If it is real, then what it's doing is it's setting a sort of a deadline. There's been talk about its closest point of contact with Earth will be on or around October 31st, right? And Halloween in the
Halloween,
Western
yeah.
world. Yeah, so And then you have, and we're going to talk more about this in the second half, that of all things, it's named after Atlas, who was a Titan, led a rebellion against,
Zeus.
their master, Zeus. Yeah. So if it's real and it's coming in, it's setting a sort of deadline. And I've been saying for some time, there's going to be a point in time when these aliens of various stripes will have no more need or incentive to maintain the cover-up of their existence, that things are coming to a boil in our solar system due to the celestially driven cataclysms that are coming back. We're in the process of them now. Also, the threat of nuclear war that's being fomented by largely non-human players working through their alien reptilian human hybrids. Eve Lorgan and I had just had a good discussion in the last few days about these hybrids and how they've been seeded all throughout society, and they're walking among us, many of them in key positions. And it's not even including all the reptilian human hybrids that are running this planetary insane asylum. So it seems that this craft, and probably has some beings in it, I doubt if it's just an empty probe, is setting a deadline of sorts. Whether there are factions here on Earth who want disclosure, who are in contact with certain groups of ETs that are against the reptilian Draco empire, and they want to force disclosure upon people, upon the world. And it's putting, in a way, it's putting the controllers of this world on notice. Now, on the other hand, it could be a cosmic deception. These may not be the knights in shining armor. These may not be the good guys coming in. They could be pretending they're good guys, but they may not be. They may be here as reinforcements, essentially, for the beings that are already in control of this planet, because we must never lose sight of the fact that the invasion was over for all intents and purposes a long time ago. This planet is a reptilian alien sphere of influence and has been for a long time. So, are these beings coming in? Are they allied with the reptilian overlords on Earth already? Do they have some kind of treaty or alliance with them? Or are they foes, enemies of the ruling reptilian overlords of this Earth? And if they're enemies, it doesn't necessarily mean they're friends of the human race either. It just may mean that they're enemies of the reptilian overlords and the reptilian overlords, cosmic vassals, the different groups that work within the reptilian sphere of influence here. So there's a number of different ways to look at this, but I see it mostly as a deadline. I'm reminded of the secret communications, diplomatic communications, in the Japanese diplomatic purple cipher, leading up to Pearl Harbor. The Americans were reading it. It was called MAGIC, was their code name for the decryption of the Japanese diplomatic ciphers. And in that message traffic, the Japanese diplomats and the consulates in different places in Washington, D.C., Tokyo, elsewhere, they were saying that when a certain date is reached, and we have a pretty good idea when that was, things are automatically going to start happening. If a peace treaty had not been enacted between the US and Japan, things would automatically start happening. And we saw the outcome of that with Pearl Harbor. So I think that we may see something. It could all turn out to be a big nothing burger. It could just fly by and then just keep going and leave the solar system. Or, and we must not lose sight of the fact that there has once again been a worldwide upsurge in UFO activity. They're calling them drones, of course, but there are UFO sightings, mass sightings, multiple craft in places like Cleveland, Ohio, Chicago, and also in many of the big cities and airports and airfields, military air bases in Europe. Some of these air bases are being shut down because of the activity of these UFOs. So there's a lot going on, but I see the deceptive, secretive behavior once again of NASA. They shut off the imagery when the object was coming close to Mars, right? So there is a reason why they're being secretive about it, and there's still a lot of people that don't even know it exists. I mean, your average person on the street doesn't know about it. So, for all intents and purposes, it's still a limited hangout, right? The only ones who really have an interest in it are people like us, people in the UFO field, what have you. But when you have people like Michio Kaku talking about this, and now even mainstream people like Glenn Beck are talking about this, it's getting more and more traction going forward as a story, as the story unfolds. So that's where I'm at right now, that I think that in a way it's setting some kind of a deadline. Nothing may come out of it. On the other hand, a lot may come out of it. And I think that, and I've said in the past, we're going to see at some point open warfare in the skies between warring ET factions. I think it's inevitable, but it remains to be seen when that will become obvious to even the dimmest person on the surface. So I'd like your thoughts on it too, Judith.
Yeah, I so far I was under the impression that I don't think there is anybody in it. I have my gut feeling is if it is something unnatural, it's more like a remote controlled yeah, device is not really a good word for it, but you know what I mean. And it feels to me like a reconnaissance mission. But I totally agree with you that certain agencies are not, you know, doing a lot to make it more transparent. When you mentioned on October 3rd, when it came closer to Mars, we had NASA in a perfect position to take images, ESA and China's what's it called, Tianwen 1. Yeah, so and then the data goes black. So NASA comes out and cites government shutdown. That happened 48 hours before that. ESA, the European Space Agency, says that data remains in processing pipelines, whatever that means. And China didn't offer any explanation whatsoever. Yeah, I mean, and no surprises there. Although China usually is very fast with releasing imagery. So, and that of course can mean a number of things. It could mean, yes, there is some, something suspicious going on, or they did it to, you know, increase the hype.
That's what's happened.
Yeah.
The more they act befuddled and seem unable to at least make an effort, even a token effort, to find out more, it just intensifies all the speculation. Now, the good thing is there are independent astronomers that have very good telescopes that have picked this object up. And there are people that are independent astronomers and researchers that have radio telescopes that have picked up these signals. So, unless they're part of the scam, unless they're part of the payroll, also, to whip everyone up into a frenzy, right? And then we have to look at what's going on in the world at this time. Once again, more saber rattling against Russia. Once again, the Middle East conflict starts up again, right after we're supposed to have this peace treaty, fomenting war with Venezuela, taking on these cartels. So the whole world, once again, is in conflict and in turmoil. And we've seen in the past, World War II was a classic example. Whenever there's a major conflict, especially a global conflict, these UFOs, call them Foo Fighters like they did in World War II, call them what one will, they come out of the woodwork and they just start flying around. Now they're flying around in large groups. So do these aliens that are here, are they aware at some level that this Atlas 3I object is coming? I'm sure some are, just as the deep black elements for the military aerospace community are aware that it's coming in. I think what they're doing, the powers that be, want to remain in power, is by not talking about it, by not covering it. I mean, they were just having this continuation of the congressional inquiry. I mean, that would have been a great time to bring this subject up, right? By not talking about it, they think they're giving themselves more time, either to come up with a cover story, come up with another distraction. But if that object, whatever it is, decides to make a very bold move, like suddenly appear in the skies above Washington, D.C. or something, and then there's going to be that's going to cause a massive panic. So it's possible that the excuse they always use in the past, and this goes back to the Brookings Institute report. Victor Marchetti, the former CIA executive administrator, he wrote the book, The Cult of the CIA and the Cult of Secrecy. And he also wrote a treatise about the UFO cover-up. Very interesting read. And he says that part of the reason for the cover-up, at least back then, was the danger it posed to our institutions, government, politics, religion, et cetera, et cetera. So that would cause some degree of upheaval. And notice how gradually, incrementally, over the last 20 years, the Vatican starts getting into UFOs. The Vatican starts putting up their own telescopes. The Vatican is putting out messages saying, well, if there are aliens, then we want to convert them, to Catholicism and what have
You
you.
would
So
baptize them, yeah.
you'll be they'll baptize them. So we were already being like prepared for this moment. And those of us in the field, and going back long before I got into it in the 40s and 50s, it became apparent that there was a internal struggle on the part of those who wanted to maintain the cover up, and that's still going on. A lot of these whistleblowers have been harassed that have appeared before Congress or want to appear before Congress. Many of them have been threatened. So we're going to see only a limited hangout from the congressional inquiries. So that cover-up is very much in force, because that cover-up is all about dissociating all of this. They cannot know, the public cannot know that elements within the government, these secret societies, these intelligence agencies at the very highest, deepest, darkest levels, they're already involved with aliens. They're already working with them. We know that in the underground bases and certain remote locations on the surface, off world even. So that is something that they cannot let out. And also, they cannot let out the fact that people are being abducted all over the world. Countless millions of people have had encounters with the UFOs, with the occupants of UFOs. The congressional inquiries are mysteriously silent about that aspect of this. They want to keep it all technical, nuts and bolts. And when they bring up alien bodies, they call them biologics. They're trying to create new terminology to mystify all of this, cloud the issue once again, when we've already had a huge corpus of information long before this new set of whistleblowers, right? So what they want to do is make everything seem new. There is no past history. There's no large body of information from the past that we could look at and try to get a frame of reference for what's going on. Everything is supposed to be new, and we're just dealing with it on a moment by moment basis. But the powers that be here on Earth have been dealing with aliens for a long time. And we know through the imagery of the solar observatory, SOHO, there have been planet-sized craft parked in front of the sun. Sometimes there was a whole armada of them, large planet-sized craft, several or up to a dozen of them. And we've seen gigantic cubes parked next to the sun. We've seen Jaime Maussan from Mexico. He does 60 Minutes over there, he did. And he showed the video of this gigantic spherical object drawing plasma energy from the sun for like 90 hours or something. I can't remember the exact length of time. It was siphoning off all this plasma energy, and then it flew away. So we've already had gigantic craft that makes this Atlas III craft look like a little grain of rice, right? And they didn't make a big deal about that because they were already here in the solar system. But there was time for this to come in and people could track it and what have you. So it adds to the momentum, it adds to the suspense. Let's just see. Now that Glenn Beck and others are talking about it, let's see if there's any kind of official announcement because it's possible this could be like the tipping point for disclosure at some level, right? Where they're almost forced to admit that, okay, it's artificial, it's unnatural. And back to the point that you made, you felt that it was a large probe of some kind that it was unmanned. According to some of the remote viewers that I've watched, I don't know them personally. They've never worked with me, so I can't vouch for their accuracy, whatever the case may be. But some of them have said that there are, and you probably heard this too, like a great many beings in stasis inside, like they're all just sleeping, waiting to be activated at some point. Why they would need to do that, I don't know. Because there are craft that could fly much faster than what this is doing, right? So it just remains to be seen. I th hopefully we'll learn more in the ensuing days, and like some really big revelation. I'd like to see, but we just have to wait.
Yeah, what you just mentioned when the Vatican and anybody can type it in, Vatican wants to baptize aliens, the articles will come up. And but I, even when that happened during that time, I thought, are you really that naive, or are you trying to tell us you're so inclusive, blah, 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 blah? Because if we are really dealing with somebody from a complete different solar system, from a different galaxy, what have you, what makes you think that they don't have their own set of spirituality? And why would they want to become Catholic? Yeah, so it never made any sense to me. But likewise, we have these anomalies with 3i Atlas that it has no tail. The tail appears to be in front of it, where it is emitting light. And that, of course, they say defies anything what they understand of physics. So, but what if where this object comes from, the charges are just different from, you know what I mean? That, usually you have a charge, a plus and a minus. Maybe in where it comes from, it is simply the other way around. And that is why we cannot make heads and tails of why it doesn't have a tail and why it is emitting light up front. It also exhibits micro deceleration events, meaning sustained, very subtle braking maneuvers, which we also cannot explain. But then again, I don't think that our type of physics is the epitome of knowledge. It reminds me of in the Stargate SG-1 when they had the first contact with the Tolans, and in a conversation between Captain Carter and one of the Tolans, it emerged that the Tolans had ditched quantum physics. Yeah, so whatever we might think is the height of insight might be nothing to others.
Yes, there may be a reason on the part of the aliens, whatever civilization sent this craft, for it to have this slow, relatively slow from my standpoint, majestic approach to us, right? I mean, they could just as easily have just manifested and appeared right above us. But like I said, it's adding to the suspense and it's adding to the speculation. And let's see if the Solar Warden people get involved, right? Because we've been given to understand, and I'm satisfied that such an operation exists. Call it Solar Warden, call it something else. But by this point, they've got themselves a fleet of man-made craft, interstellar craft. Certainly operating within our solar system, right? And probably has an interstellar capability. So, if this Atlas craft is really an unknown, you would think at some level, the Solar Warden, which the name implies that they're a guardian of the solar system, you would think that at some level that they would investigate it, right? Since craft probes of their own, have their own remote viewers and their affiliated alien colleagues try to find out as much as they can about it. We know that craft come and go all the time to this planet. And some of the craft that have come and gone have been quite large. In the, I think the 1950s, early 1960s, 1950s time frame, Donald Kehoe, the late great Major Donald Kehoe, a Marine Corps aviator, who was really speaking out about the Air Force and later about the CIA cover-up of UFOs. He was told by his sources in the Pentagon that they were quite alarmed over the fact that there were some very large alien craft that had parked out beyond the Earth's atmosphere. And we're just up there, just hanging around, right? And we also know that the moon, for all intents and purposes, is an artificial construct, and it's populated by quite a lot of aliens. And apparently, from the information that I have and others have, there's a joint alien human operation going on there, as there is on Mars. So we're talking already about this ongoing collusion between deep black elements of the military industrial complex and aliens. So, does this craft really represent an X factor? Is it really a mystery to the people in Solar Warden and these other deep black operations involving aliens and off-world activity? And why does China feel the need to go along with the West to help maintain the cover-up, right? If they really wanted to like shake things up and rattle the gourd of the Americans, they could easily come out with a lot of information about it, show close-ups. See, the problem that we're having now is there's so much AI that's been seeded into social media, seeded into the cyber space world, that one has to take with a grain of salt, whatever imagery we get of this craft. Well, it looks pretty cool. It looks believable. It looks like an alien craft. Is it a legitimate picture, or is it just AI? You see, that's something that we'll never know. And you and I, we don't know personally who these people are that are claiming to be getting the Fibonacci sequence messages. We don't know the independent astronomers who have imaged this thing, taken photographs of it, right? So that's another thing. And understandably, if it's a real object they're imaging and getting these soundings from the radio signals, they're not going to want to advertise who they are, right? Because then they get harassed, they get suicided, they get into accidents, right? So there's a lot about this that needs clarity. And there's always a possibility too that if people remote view this, just as in the surface world here, right, where you're sending a message to a spy in the field in a secret code or a cipher, and then they're responding back. Is that really your spy that's sending the message back? Or is it someone else pretending to be your spy? Or is it really your spy, but they're sending back responses under duress, right? So when people remotely view this and they say, well, I spoke to some aliens with the Galactic Federation, the Galactic Council, what have you, and they're coming here to help out. And were those really the aliens on board that craft? Or are they really this part of the civilization that sent the craft? Or has their remote viewing transmission, so to speak, been intercepted? Where were these nefarious, deceitful aliens decided, oh, look at this guy, he's trying to remote view. Let's further muddy the waters. And so they make an appearance, a manifestation, and say, yeah, nothing to worry about. It's us. This is a Galactic Federation operation. We're coming here to help the Earth in its time of need. And I think that we all would like to have a little hope. We all would like to have some belief in a higher power that potentially can help us in the dire straits that we're in, right? But that also could be a setup. So I'm not entirely sold on the results that are coming back from the remote viewers, because are they truly dispassionate, impartial remote viewers that will not be unduly influenced by any preconceived biases, right? Where they have this belief in, and I do believe that there are alliances and federations and cosmic groupings of different alien beings. It only stands to reason. We know from an alien abduction standpoint that when people get abducted by aliens, on any given encounter on board a alien craft or alien installation, they can see any number of different types of beings. So clearly, there is some collusion and groups of different ET civilizations. To be sure, some may have been cloned as workers and servants, what have you. But then there are apparently different ET races that work in collusion with one another, mantis beings, reptilians, what have you. So we know that there are alliances and factions. But when people remote view this craft and they get back this message from the Galactic Council, I'm not so sure about that. That would be nice. But, then again, what are the Galactic Council's real agenda? What are they really all about? You see what I mean? I don't make assumptions. I don't just believe things. I'm very skeptical when it comes, right down to it, as far as the motivations of these different alien races. But anyway, That's my rant.
Other people say it is just a distraction from events that are unfolding down here. So far, I have a little problem with that because, as you mentioned before, not too many people know about it. If I go out now and ask anybody that comes towards me, what are your thoughts about Three Eye Atlas? Yeah, I would probably get an empty glaze. Unless in the next couple of days, something around Three Eye Atlas, something happens, and then it's, on a loop in mainstream media so that everybody knows about it. But as of now, I don't think it fulfills the, like, for instance, like COVID, nobody could escape that, yeah, because there was 24/7.
Coverage and the propaganda, fear mongering was 24/7.
Yeah, exactly. And the conditions for a huge distraction are not fulfilled at this point, at
Yes,
least.
and just to interject for a moment, there are a great many surface level truthers, the Alex Joneses of the world, who, in my view, is a spent force by this point. Many other people have just moved beyond Alex Jones just for the surface level stuff. But people like Alex Jones are already disinclined to not believe in aliens. They're already inclined, rather, not to believe in aliens anyway. They're already inclined to believe that anything alien, UFO, UAP related, drone related is a distraction. Project Bluebeam, fake alien invasion. Oh, here it comes again, the fake alien invasion. But you see, that noisy, chirping crowd that's saying that, they still represent a tiny minority of the whole surface population, right? There's not really that many so-called truthers just of the surface level variety out there, right? It seems like there's a whole lot because you go on the internet and it seems like, oh wow, all these people, they're truthers just like me. Well, we're still a minority, right? Still. So there's always going to be this tendency on the part of these surface level truthers to be dismissive of anything to do with aliens, right? And the irony, like I've said time and again, is this is an alien controlled planet. This is it. We're living within a reptilian sphere of influence and have been for a long time. So they would be disinclined to believe this anyway. They would just see it as another propaganda stunt. But so it begs the question, distraction from what?
Yeah,
All the
exactly.
warfare going on? Well, when these surface level types like Alex Jones deliberately turn a blind eye to a lot of the surface level stuff going on anyway, right? So distraction from what? It doesn't even make sense from that standpoint. Now, however, if you mentioned a moment ago to your point about something new happening with the Atlas, let's say another very large object is detected moving like on an intercept course, right? Maybe as big or bigger. I mean, look at the imagery sent by the Soviet Mars probe before the Soviet Mars probe mysteriously vanished, right? They sent a radio telescope image back of this enormous cylindrical craft, about, like, I think memory serves, something like 15 kilometers long, right? It was near the one of the moons, either Phobos or Deimos. But that was the last image the Soviet probe sent before it disappeared, right? That was a long time ago by now. So, and I don't understand alien politics, diplomacy, as much as I would like to. Like on Earth, they make a big deal about, oh, Russian planes, NATO planes overflying in other countries' airspace, and let's make a big deal about that. But there are so many craft coming and going in our solar system, in and out of Earth, in and out of Mars. Where do these different ET races draw the line, right? Is this another big, from an alien perspective, aliens that are already here in our solar system? Here comes Atlas. Is that a big deal to them? Oh, who cares? Some of them may be thinking, how does that affect us? We got our own thing going on, right? Now, if some of the aliens that are already resident in our solar system thought, hey, kind of like in a mob mafia mentality, these guys are coming in to cut in on our action. Let's go see what they're all about, right? And I think in the past here on Earth, there have been situations like that where they have tried different warring factions, the Draco and reptilians have tried to, well, not tried at the reptilian Draco side, but from the other side, beings that are benevolent and friendly and non-warlike, I mean, they'll fight when they have to, but generally they like to maintain peace, have tried to cut deals with reptilians and Draco, and they've never worked. They're kind of like a certain nation, let's say here on Earth, that's always breaking its treaties, right? The Draco and the reptilians do that. There is a school of thought, and I have no reason to doubt it, that because I've spoken to a number of people about this very subject. Some 800,000 years ago, there was a meeting above Earth, above Australia, of all places, where this large crystalline ship came full of thousands of friendly ETs that came here to meet the Dracos and the reptilians, basically to order them out of our solar system, order them off Earth, make a deal with them. But the reptilians and Draco double-crossed them, blew up the big crystalline ship. And the fragments of this craft, this big crystalline ship, have come down in a swath from Australia all the way up to Thailand. And the crystal is known as Australite. And they've done studies on it. Bruce Fenton, who I've had on my show, has done a lot of research on this. He's proven to my satisfaction that the Australite that has crashed and embedded itself into the earth and it's been dug up, that it's been subjected to superheating twice. The first time, probably when it was blasted by these heat rays from the reptilian Draco craft, and then the second time when it went through our atmosphere, right? So how could that happen unless exactly what people who had lives on board that craft that was shot down and double-crossed by the reptilians, some of those people that were on that craft, they claim, I have no reason to doubt them, to have been reincarnated, right? And have memories of this event. Because not all of the aliens died from that double cross. A number of them made it down to Earth, down to Australia, and there was a little pockets of them that survived different ET groups, and then they started their own genetics program with interbreeding, mixing their DNA with certain hominids here in Australia, and then began reincarnating into their own genetic progeny, right? So I can see that happening. And then there's circumstantial evidence for all this. Point being, and point of relevance, is in the past they've tried to make efforts at coming to terms with some of these different ETs, the good ETs, but they backfired. So is there going to be a similar dynamic here? Like these guys are coming over here now and, okay, look, we're the new sheriff in town. We're going to tell you the way it's going to be. You have to do things on our terms. And what are the aliens that are already here going to feel about that? No, we already control this place and we don't want you around, right? Or are they just going to let them pass and not make a big issue out of it and they're just going to keep flying through the solar system and head out and no big deal, right? So it depends if whoever sent that craft is either in alliance or have a diplomatic, like a treaty with some of the aliens here already, or they're in conflict with some of the aliens here. That all this remains to be seen. I mean, all we can do at this point is speculate and think out loud about the possibilities.
Yeah, exactly. So there are three scenarios that scientists expect when 3i Atlas reaches its perihelion. We will talk about this in the second hour and, of course, about the esoteric implications, and we will see the patrons on the other side.